So this morning's scripture is taken from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God.
When did the church begin? Was it with Peter's confession? Remember when Jesus asked his followers, "Who do the people say that I am?" And he looked Peter in the eye. "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "Well, you're the Christ." That's what our confession is built on, isn't it? And what did Jesus tell Peter? Yeah, you're the rock, on this rock. And it wasn't on the rock of Peter that the church would be built. It was on the rock of his confession. Was that the beginning of the church? Or remember the crucifixion. All the disciples were so dismayed and despondent. It surely didn't begin then. Peter would deny he ever laid eyes on him. The resurrection? Of course, the women were the first to the tomb. I got to tell you a story on Shirley. Where's Sharon? I understand y'all went to the movie. And and in that movie, it was the LBJ movie, and it was announced that the civil rights movement of 1964, the rights, it gave civil rights to both our black sisters and brothers, and also women's rights were completed. And I understand Shirley had something to say about that. She got up and announced to the theater crowd that that actually women still were not given their full rights in the majority of the churches in the world, or something like that. She called me at, yes, she called me at 7:30 this morning. So, but even then, but was it at Pentecost, the day we celebrated as the birthday of the church? Or how, the real church, really, if we're honest about it, kind of began with Paul, didn't it? If it hadn't been for Paul, the church would have stayed that little group of Jewish disciples. They would have continued in their belief that Jesus was the Jewish Messiah, and they might have remained a small sect of Judaism. But Paul founded more churches in 10 or 15 years than they had even thought about. The birth of the church. Almost from the get-go, there was a fracturing in the church, right? Some of those earliest believers believed that Jesus was indeed the pre-existent Son of God, the Word become flesh. Others believed he was a teacher, he was a wise teacher, but just a teacher. And then came along the Emperor Constantine. Remember Constantine, who conquered by the cross? He had a vision of a cross, and he brought the whole church into the Roman Empire. Of course, Constantine, he did not officially join the church until his deathbed. He had way too much sinning to do to fully confess Christ. And then the church became the empire, really, didn't it? The church and the Roman Empire were almost one and the same. Popes could actually announce who was going to be king in a certain country. And then the Dark Ages came about. And you know, there's a little book called How Ireland Saved the World. And it's a book about how there were some monks in a monastery in Ireland who they saved knowledge. as it was being destroyed, and they made a library that was to be a library that would go out from there and help bring about what would later become the Renaissance. Remember, you've maybe studied the Renaissance in school in the 14th century in Italy, and people started to begin to think for themselves. And that Renaissance kind of led naturally into the Protestant Reformation. Remember Martin Luther? He nailed his thesis to the door. He did not want to get rid of the Catholic Church. He wanted to reform the Catholic Church. And then we all know the story of the King Henry and how the Church of England came about in the 16th century. And then religion starts to come to the New World. The Spanish conquistadores also brought with them priests. Quakers and Puritans and others came to the northeastern shores of what would become the United States. Did you know that in the early colonies there was actually a church tax in some of the colonies, that the church, it had its bills paid by being part of the tax base. It would receive taxes from the colony government. In around 1801, there was a meeting called the Cane Ridge Revival. And in that meeting, it was a huge camp meeting of literally thousands of people. And it is said that the spirit broke out in this camp meeting. And one writer about it said that the preachers would literally stand up on the wagons, and there would be preaching here and there and everywhere. And some were howling like dogs at the moon, it was reported. Out of that movement, though, came what was to be called the Stone Campbell movement. And we are a part of that movement. In 1832, the Christian church was officially founded. Before then, we were Baptists. Did you know that? We were Baptists for 15 years. We belonged, the early people who would build the Christian church joined the Mahonic Baptist Association. But they were kicked out. They were too independent for the Baptists. Think that through. Our hallmark through the years have been education. What did the early Christian church do from 1835 on? We started schools. TCU is our largest church-related school in Texas. Our hallmarks were education, ecumenism, the first head of the World Council of Churches, and congregational autonomy. You do realize that about us, right? There is no bishop to tell us what we must believe, how our sacraments must be shared, what we must do in order to have the correct liturgy. It is up to each individual congregation. And Christian churches look varied. Except this table is always, always at the center. In about 1934, a group gathered here. Out of that earliest group, Cy Harris is our most tenured member. And we've got 85 coming up in a year or two, 85 years. And we need to do something to note that. We need to do something to note that. Think about it. From Peter's confession until today, we carry forward, you and I, 2,000 years of history. We, you and I, are the inheritors. We are the inheritors of the whole history of Christendom. Today's sermon title, There's a Great Future in Our Past. was on a sign that I saw in Pennsylvania. It wasn't written exactly like that. The sign read, "There is a great past in our future." And I got to thinking about those two together. Each year, we look forward and we plan for tomorrow. That's what stewardship is, isn't it? It's what stewardship does. There is a great past in our future, and there is a wonderful future in our past. Several questions to ask you in the next minute and a half. Are the best days of F.C.C. Conroe behind us or in front of us? I know they're in front of us. Are we heading in the right direction? You know, if you don't know where you're going, almost any path will do, won't it? Are we heading in the right direction? Is there a positive movement within our church? I can only speak of the last 3 years. But personally, when Peggy Trott and I, Peggy Trott first, and I came 3.5 years ago, wow. I sense and not because of anything that we have done, sometimes in spite of the fact of what we've done, I sense a change in the temperament, a change in the ability to look positively toward what we can be as a congregation. I have seen that change personally. Next question. Are you personally involved with your church family at a level that will help us move forward? And only each of you can answer that question for yourself. Next question. This is the truth. I always hate to do that, but it's stewardship time. Is your financial commitment to FCCC, or as I like to call us, FC3? I'm just not a guy of the computer age, am I? I'll admit it. But is your financial commitment at a level that you can honestly say that you are giving sacrificially? And that will be vastly different for each and every one of us. Last question. What is your main goal for the ministry of FCCC in the coming year? If you have a goal right now you'd like to share, let's hear it. If not, think it through. I'm going to be asking that question again and again until the first of the year. Is there one goal that we have not met or we haven't even begun to meet that is the most important for you, for us to begin this next year? Think about it. God has blessed us with a great home, with people smart enough to build a great facility. God has blessed us with an open-heartedness. When folks come here, they know they have been welcomed graciously. God has blessed us with exciting and important tasks to do. There is a great past in our future, and I am convinced that there is a great future in our past. Amen.